Hey. Coming at you today. Crockett, what I'm trying to say is yes.
Welcome
to the Cosmic Question.
To the podcast for empathy and imagination. My name is Aubrey Cloutier.
And I am Drew Clark.
And we are here and we are back. And thanks for listening.
What episode is this? Oh, no. Yeah. Episode.
Check us out on SoundCloud, Patreon.com, iTunes,
YouTube,
OK Cupid, Plenty of Fish, Tinder, everywhere on the internet.
Got your man, Aubrey Cloutier. He's going to tell you a story later today.
What up?
You got your man, Drew Clark, on
Drew
the mic.
Drew Clark.
Keeping it real. Keeping it tight. All right. Let's jump right into Aubrey. How are you doing? How has your week been? What are your feelings? What are the feelings you've been having lately?
Doing great. Week's great. Feel great.
Cool.
Next.
Nice.
Pretty good. Working a lot. Doing a lot of stuff. Trying to keep busy. Doing cool shit. The secret of happiness is doing cool shit. What does that mean? It means doing things that allow you to get into a flow state where time disappears and you are fully engaged in mind and body. Now, sex is one of those things.
Mm-hmm. It involves the most senses at once, right?
Yeah, but you can't do that all day, every day. At least, you don't really have the opportunity to do that. So, you know, playing music, doing podcasts, you know, just doing creative stuff. Things that take you into a time warp. That's what I try to do. How about you? How are you doing?
You know, ladies, gentlemen, and otherwise, I'm here to tell you, I have some fear, and the fear comes in the form of that my eye is messed up. Now, I bet some of you have experienced things like this, but on my left eye, I can see a rainbow dot in my vision if I focus on it, and around that area, it's actually curving light, so looking at letters on, say, a backlit computer, there's a curve I can see if I just use my left eye. Now, it seems like it might be getting better, although maybe I'm just sort of positivizing the situation. So I got to share that I'm feeling some fear and that I also might be getting better, but yeah, so my eye's weird and I don't know what happened. I don't have a memory of a thing, but I mean, I have been spending a lot of time in the wind. We were
outside
a bunch. There
was nothing that you can pinpoint that caused it to start?
No, but I looked it up and it seems like it could be like a bacterial infection. It could be a scratch. It could be caused by any numerous of horrifying diseases. So, I mean,
what's the most horrifying
brain
situation?
Tumor. The number one most horrifying thing is brain tumor.
I mean, that's fixable though, too.
Not usually. Sometimes. It gets better every day. The second most horrible is like blood sugar, like diabetic crash. Can it mess with your eyes? But this is really like catastrophizing. And I think it's too early to really be going down that road.
Yeah.
I have no other symptoms. I have no pain. I have no... I have no shortness. I don't get shaky. I don't... I'm an athlete, essentially, and that's still going really well. It's just my eye's weird.
Because brain tumor has other symptoms, right?
Like pain, headaches, blurred vision, which my vision isn't blurry.
Right.
I just have this little rainbow in my left eye. It's pretty faint. If I focus really hard or close my eyes, I can kind of see a little better. But it sucks, especially driving at night, because there's this curve on half of my vision.
Sounds like a lens.
Yeah, it sounds like a lens is swollen. Because if a lens was swollen, the light would be curved a little, which indicates a scratch or infection.
Yeah.
So I'm supposed to pay all the money I don't have in the world
right.
to go do an optometrist. Because
of our awesome
Monday.
Healthcare system
yeah,
that we have in the
US. Super awesome. Super not awesome. Sweden's is way better. Canada's is way better. And that's an opinion.
Right.
It's an opinion. Okay.
Huh. Healthcare.
So, yeah, healthcare. So how I'm doing is healthcare is a thing. I feel some fear. I also have, which leads into a topic we're going to get to, but I don't want to jump right into it just yet. I'm still talking about how I'm feeling, how my week's going. Still getting sued. Still don't have any information. I was supposed to have some info yesterday. Turns out that we have to wait longer for the information. They said we would have by the 31st of March 2017. So, don't know what's going on there. Also, I don't...
What kind of information?
Well, I can't really go into details, but I can say...
Fair enough.
I can say that there was parties involved who were made certain offers and that they have a deadline to decide if they accept it or not, sort of a thing. Hmm. I think I can say that.
Damn, sounds like there's a lot of question marks.
I'll also add that... I have two jobs, and I don't make enough money to live. Like, every month I lose more, either from highly protected, very dangerous to remove from 401k or credit card or something. But we are sinking, and we're... There's a whole topic on what I'm doing about that.
Is there a plan A, plan B?
Yeah, there's lots of plans, and new ones form all the time. And I don't feel that bad about it. It seems like I'm not alone. It seems like there's a lot of people in this position. And I'm not afraid to work harder or give something up or whatever it is that it needs to be.
Like, I encourage all our listeners to go to Patreon.com.
Patreon.com.
To support the show. Help us pay for some of our operating costs. You know, we have a studio that we're building out.
It's not free. It isn't free to do the show.
We put a lot of work into the studio. And if you want better audio sounds in your ear holes, you know, chip in a couple bucks and help us help you and help us bring some cool content.
Yes. Well said, Aubrey. And that's it. I'm done. And that finishes
it.
What's going on. So I think it's time for this topic that feels related, if you're ready for this topic. Now, are we there?
We can be there, yeah.
Okay. So it's posed as a question, and I do have my own comments, and I can speak on it, and I'd like to not only, I'd like you also speak on it. Now, considering your body and what goes on in it, and say your eye or whatnot, there's a myriad of experiences that are possible, and there are seemingly a myriad of choices to do about it, about any sort of thing you notice that's abnormal. So I have had a lot of how you could generally say Western medicine experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my topic. Western medicine experiences? ? So...
Seems like a scam, doesn't it?
Well, we can anecdotally speak storily about it in larger themes. I'm in this question also more acutely interested in personal experiences or secondhand experiences, like either you yourself or like a family member or close friend. Western medicine, like closest to primary source documents.
Just stories of what?
Your experiences in say you had an ailment or have an ailment now that either you choose not to treat or wouldn't treat or don't think it like, or you have gone and they said one thing and that thing happened, or they said one thing and a different thing happened. Like, what are some Western medicine experiences?
The doctor seems kind of disengaged. Checked out already. Right.
So you get to the doctor room.
You get to the doctor. You go in there. You have to wait in the waiting room. And then you go into the examination room. You're waiting again. Then the doctor comes in. He sort of seems sort of distracted. He's in the middle of something else.
Mm-hmm.
Gives you a cursory examination and sends you on your way. So it's kind of impersonal. And I think that's why bedside manner is so important, is because the doctor spends so little time with you. He has to sort of be a good actor.
Huh.
I've been fortunate enough to not have major health problems. But it's just been like routine checkups. And I don't know. It's nothing strange. The whole thing strikes me as a scam.
Okay. Speak to that, please.
Well, just the inflated prices. If you're on a certain insurance plan, you have to go with certain doctors. The regulation of the whole market. The fact that the government is involved so heavily. Seems like the wrong way to do it.
Give me a scammy scenario.
Well, I think a lot of patients are scamming the system. They get health care just so they can get Adderall and Xanax.
Morphine.
Don't have any actual problems.
Hmm. Are they scamming both directions?
Yeah. The doctors are scamming because, I don't know, let's say like a physiologist or a psychiatrist. You know, it's like an auto mechanic. You don't want to fix the car perfectly forever because then they'll never come back. So it's almost like a planned obsolescence / you know, never fully fix the problem so that you guarantee repeat business.
Yeah. There's many institutions have this theme. There's this other thing I'd like to add to that, is I've had plenty of Western medicine experiences, and the overt majority of them were a ton of money and effort and pills and chemicals, but like the results were nearly zero. Not quite fully zero, but if you think about all the times, like I was a flight attendant for a long time.
Hmm.
9 years in a row, I was a flight attendant for Southwest Airlines, and I had medical coverage. Mm-hmm. And you get sick on airplanes. It happens, you know. You don't really get hurt until turbulence.
Germ tube. With like the lowest possible air pressure.
8,000 foot.
So that they can save money. They can skimp money on pressure and, yeah.
Save money.
I mean, isn't that fucking morbid?
It's super morbid.
That keeping they would you only, just above the bare minimum pressure and air that you need to survive.
And hyper, hyper dehydrating because they don't put water in the air.
Right.
It's drier than any Mojave Desert.
Right.
And you drink all the water you can, and it helps a little, but you're peeing all the time. Because I would drink 12 ounces an hour easily.
And it's just germs, a germ tube.
Yeah. Totally.
Germ and sweat, body.
It's a tough job.
Functions. Anyway, yeah.
So I got sick a bunch and I had medical coverage. Like, okay, so years ago I got a CT scan. And I
what
went.
What is that?
It's a CAT scan. Basically, it's a fMRI, sort of, where you put your head in this thing and then it clicks and spins around. You wear earplugs.
You get an image of your brain. And
right. So they looked at my brain, and it was very sexy brain, first off. Let me just say.
It's got to be a little shiny. Disconcerting to see your own brain and head.
It was. And my eyeballs and everything.
Yeah.
So we get down to
Drew.
The nose.
That's Drew's head.
And I have something called sinusitis. It's basically chronic, like, boogers that have hardened into polyps. And these polyps slowly push on your bones. And so, for example, in
so
my face...
So they're fused
face,
to your bone or the cartilage?
They're not fused. They're just in the channels in between the bones.
Huh.
In the sinuses. So they become
polyps. Can you, like,
sniff
glue or something? Sniff acid and just burn those fuckers out of there?
I'm on board, dude. If you have an acid that I can sniff... Because there's been different things. Like, for example, one procedure people have talked about...
Drill?
Is they take this balloon, yeah.
Yeah.
Almost. And they push it up your nose and then inflate the balloon to break apart the polyp, and then you can get it out.
Sounds like Total Recall when he puts the
It's real.
Thing up his nose and he's like, just keep digging.
It's real.
Whatever he says. Once you hear the crunch, you're there.
Yeah. That's the truth now. That's real. And so I considered that procedure, and it turned out that I don't have the kind of polyps that works on. So there's a surgery that's available, and the surgery, even when I had full coverage, and this was like arguably caused by the job. I mean, I think that's more than half of the truth.
Change in pressure.
Yeah.
Totally fucks with your sinuses.
Plus the bugs.
Calcified bugs turned into polyps.
Their waste, which is my snot.
Oh, man. So, I can't believe you did that for 9 years.
I know.
Did you throw in $5,000 a year and they matched that on your 401k? Is that why?
What happened with 401k there, and this is cool, another cool story, is that they would pre-tax match. So
right.
By the end, there was up to like 7.5%.
But you put in like the full amount that you possibly could?
No, I didn't.
Wow.
I did not. Other people did, but I needed money to live.
Yeah, that's a huge benefit. I mean, that's like their selling point, right?
Well, it's...
You get huge benefits, and you get this mega 401k matching plan.
Because
if you were there for 9 years, and, you know, you said...
I was there 11 years.
11 years.
Well, it's 12. 12 years.
Huh.
So I did that the whole time. So there, that is cool, and that is, it is good that exists. What I'm talking about is the Western medicine.
Right.
So there's a surgery that was available for sinusitis, even with that kick-ass insurance through the kick-ass company.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to cost me $4,000 out of pocket, and most people who have this done, it's completely returned to before the surgery in 9 months.
The polyps just come back. Sinus barnacles.
Sinus barnacles. So the sinus barnacles grow, and they push on the bones in your face. And slowly, these polyps are going to change how I look. How my face looks. Maybe for the better. I don't know. Could be that I just look way more handsome.
Maybe that's not possible.
So, or it might make me look like a total weirdo. But it would be so slow.
Yeah.
It would be such a slow change. You wouldn't even know. Only photographs would we notice over time, probably. So.
And as far as you know, that there's no cure.
No, there's no permanent cure. There's no cure now.
Fuck, dude.
So I spent a bunch of money and did a bunch of tests and had a CT scan. And my brain was fine, which was good.
Brain's fine is good. How long ago was that?
Six years ago. I mean, a long time ago. And so I went to different people and tried different things. And I also tried medicine, tried chemicals. They were like, here, try these antibiotics. I took a bunch of antibiotics. And... I did a ton of that, dude. So much. Different times over years, I tried lots of different things, and fucking nothing worked. It's like we're paying all this money and doing all this damage to my cells, and nothing worked. So you move forward. I get injured in turbulence.
Right.
The most notable damage to my body was my left shoulder.
It was thrown up and hit the ceiling in turbulence?
That's correct.
Because you're in the back of the plane, and the back of the plane moves the most in turbulence.
That's correct. Also correct. So the plane dropped, essentially, but I was setting, and the plane came down on me, essentially.
Right. Gosh.
And then it slammed the back of my neck, and then I landed on my shoulder on the galley, and it was totally messed up. And so I went through all this, and... I'll say this now. I'll reveal this. I mean, this is probably the first. I still have a voice recording of somebody in the health system that I was referred to, who was on tape telling me that if I don't lie to my company and tell them that I'm totally healed, that they will fire me.
Hmm.
And so the next... and the
bureaucracy
next,
is dead. Long live bureaucracy.
Yeah. So this person, I have him on tape saying this, and it's like...
That's very morbid.
I just felt through the force that I needed to record this. I knew he was going to be weird. I had a weird feeling, and I was right. And I didn't even need to use the recording. I just told people, hey, guys, check out what this dude just told me. And they were like, oh, hold on. We'll call you in a week and tell you what happened. Nothing happened to him. I had to just drive further to the next town over to use the other office of the same company. That was their solution.
Right. How can someone like you not be totally cynical about Western medicine, the whole healthcare system in America?
I can go on and on. And I don't need to. I'm totally cynical about Western medicine.
Yeah. I mean, I'm cynical about most, maybe not most things, but I just don't have enough experience in the healthcare. I sort of presupposed that it was a total shit show scam already, even though I've not had any experiences like that. Like,
check it.
Brutal, lying, obviously, like mafia.
Very much so. Mafia shit.
Hey, you got a nice place here. Yeah, it'd be a shame if anyone came in here and wrecked your place.
Yep.
It's like extortion. Healthcare extortion.
It's very close to that. So, check it.
Bullshit.
They tried to deny me physical therapy, which one doctor that I saw, one of many, suggested it, and then other people I knew suggested it too for the kind of injury that I had. So the
shoulder?
Yeah, the shoulder. They tried to deny me, and it took something like 3 months for them to approve physical therapy for me. They only approved 24 sessions total. Like, they're like, if it doesn't happen in 24, fuck you, but they don't tell
arbitrary
you
number.
But they don't tell you that.
Yeah, just a number,
so you
picked
just
out
start
of a hat.
The very talented woman who helped me, she's very smart, and she had the right attitude, and she was strong, so she could like push me.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent professional. I wish I remembered her name. I would plug her now.
And again, she doesn't. She's just a part of this. She's just as much a victim of the system as you are,
mm-hmm.
right?
Because it's her whole job. And her method was the method that worked. Literally, that is what made my shoulder so that I was doing military presses like 2 years later.
Hmm.
Completely healed. Like, I play basketball. It's still, everything is completely fine. I will say, of course, as
what
I
was
age,
the actual problem?
Well, there were the ligaments here. Yeah. I didn't tear them, but they were like mashed.
Like smashed.
Yeah.
Between bones.
There were little tears probably, but neither of them fully, I guess there's two, and then neither of them
fully
tear.
They just got
teared.
Pressed in between two bones and...
Yeah. Between the bone and the ground of the airplane.
Damn.
But we got them back to shape from physical therapy. Yeah. And physical therapy is a fringe of Western medicine. It's not really the main deal. So, like, the thing of where, like, somebody touched me and they said, hey, push this ball against the wall and twist it around like a globe.
God,
and then
that's what you do. That hurts to hear.
And it
because I can imagine why. I can imagine what would hurt doing that.
It did. Yeah. It totally hurt. And she was right. And I became strong and was benching and lifting and we're good.
That's a good point. If it hurts, it's actually probably good for you. Not all the time.
It's not
like,
always.
If you have sensitive teeth, let's say on one side, a lot of the advice is just use it more. Use that side more.
Get your gum on.
Go work through the pain, and then it's like, oh, okay, fine. You know, sometimes things are just painful, but sometimes you just have to work through the pain. That's how it gets better.
Pain.
Maybe that's an existential point. That's like an existential lesson too, maybe.
I think so. I think we could go on that because if you experience pain, it doesn't mean it's time to stop necessarily.
It might be the true start of the healing process.
Interesting point.
So were you in the air at 9/11?
No, I was hired 7 days before 9/11. I was a provisioning agent in San Jose.
on the day of?
It was my first day off the new job, literally.
Huh.
So I worked 7 days in a row because there was an enormous process to get my SIDA, Security Identification Display Area badge. And so I worked 5 days, and then it took me going there 2 more days and my first 2 days off, which weren't my day off. Thank you. Sierra Nevada Torpedo Extra IPA. Thank you. And so my first day off was September 11th, and I was sleeping and
in wake San up to Jose?
In Redwood City. I lived with my mom in Redwood City.
Oh, and really?
And I
wake you up?
No, the phone. Yeah, she called me from where she was. She was like, "Oh, turn
on
the TV."
She went to work, and you were still at home sleeping.
My first day off. Fuck yeah, I was sleeping, and I was Oh fuck, that job was over. I guess that was nice. Good thing I did that.
Oh, I was like,
oh, well, that's over. Right. I mean, that wasn't my first. My first thought was the horror, obviously.
Sure.
And it was like, holy cow, this is so much misery.
Your first pragmatic thought was, well.
Once I was able to think of myself, I was like, well,
yeah,
I guess my job's over. But they didn't. They fucking kept me.
Why would they?
Well, a lot of companies didn't do that. But Southwest, they were like, okay, you're still going to get paid.
A lot of companies
you have
just
an extra week
fired
off.
People?
Yeah. You have an extra week off. Just everyone's on the ground. Everyone's getting paid who was stranded. All the flight attendants who were stranded in all these places were all paid the whole time. So they kept me
a
and
horrible,
kept everyone else.
Horrible thing, obviously.
Obviously,
happened.
A nightmare.
But some people were sitting pretty just by default.
So Southwest did a good job. They fucking handled it well.
Hmm.
So that happened. That's also true.
Yeah. Wow.
So yeah, Western medicine experiences, man. It's like, it seems like Western medicine is good at diagnosing, but they seem to be really befuddled.
Is it though? Are they good
at diagnosing? On curing.
Are they good at diagnosing?
You could argue that.
You pretty much know if something's wrong, right?
Yeah.
As a human being, self-aware human being, you know if something's going wrong in the gutty works.
Yeah, you can feel it.
Maybe you don't know specifically what it is. Oh, there's this eye thing.
Right.
I don't know why, right? By the way, the eye is like technically shouldn't work, right? The eye and smell. The senses are still largely a mystery to neurology. But are they that great at diagnosing or curing?
Do you have any physical ailments that you wish medicine would help you with currently that you live with?
I have an IQ of only 124. I wish it were higher. Just kidding. My comedy IQ could be higher. You know, I have a subcutaneous benign cyst on my back, which I haven't gotten checked out. But again, I self-diagnosed. It's not itching. It's not suppurating.
Doesn't swell.
Doesn't swell. Likely benign. Should probably get it checked out,
But why not? Why don't you? That's a question. Why don't
why
you go?
Don't
to
I?
Why don't you go to the Berkeley Free Clinic?
I guess I don't know. Yeah, I guess where do I go?
Berkeley Free Clinic.
Do I actually, if they say, oh, you need to get this removed, why? It hasn't caused any problems. Should I just believe them? It's like a religion. It's like doctors are like the priest class, right?
Oh, totally.
Oh, they have this arcane knowledge that I just have no. You know, me.
You could never understand.
Me, just a plebe, just a knave. I have no idea. It's the experts. Drop that light behind you. It's the experts. I have to just listen. Whatever they say is like gospel. It's like just the word of truth.
Dude.
And then it's like, oh, well, I need a second opinion. And then the second opinion is like completely different. That doesn't invite my confidence in the whole system.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good question. You know, maybe it's laziness that I don't get it checked out. Maybe arrogance or something. Like, well, it's not, nothing's broken. There is a thing. I do get this eye thing. When you told me about your eye thing, it reminded
what
me of my eye thing.
What happens to you? What's yours?
And it makes me, you know, in the darkest part of my thoughts, I'm like, oh yeah, that's like a brain problem. It's like a glowing filament. And it's either eye, it's not consistent. And it doesn't happen on a consistent basis. And I'm not sure what causes it. But sometimes it'll be like this little like zigzag filament of light. And it'll start very, very small.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll slowly expand. And when I look directly at something, I can't read what it says. But if I look not directly at it, I can see what it said. So the periphery works.
Huh.
It's just the direct. And eventually the filament sort of keeps expanding to the edge of my vision and it goes away.
Huh.
Every time it happens, I put it on my calendar to see if there's any sort of periodicity to it. If it happens at regular intervals and so forth. And so far, nothing.
What is the interval?
There is none.
Is there any averages of distance?
Once every couple months, maybe. I think it might be a light sensitivity thing,
mm-hmm.
like a reflected sunbeam perfectly going into my retina, or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm like, if it's persistent, like I move my eyeball around and it stays in the same position, and slowly sort of dissipates to the edge of my vision. That sounds like a nerve issue.
It sounds like an internal chemical thing.
Yeah. So.
Then an injury thing.
It fucking worries me. But
yeah. You hear that fear?
Hello? Check. Hello? It worries me for sure.
Yeah.
Should probably get it checked out. I don't know how to test for that. Maybe a CAT scan.
Well, it's like, do you have medical coverage?
I mean.
Is your non-profit job have that?
No. No, no.
Fuck.
Dude, no.
That's lame.
Welcome
They're
to the
non-profit.
World, welcome to the world of independent contractors.
So yeah, Aubrey works for a non-profit and they don't have medical. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, I work for an exploding startup and they don't have medical.
Yeah. It's a dying breed. And, you know, the whole healthcare thing is it's a pit of vipers and a bag of shit. And I think being in sort of an amateur anarcho-capitalist libertarian.
Oof.
Fuck the government, healthcare. Let the free market dictate everything. I don't want
oh. check.
Huh. This cable.
Yeah, that cable or the mic.
The cable?
It's the cable or the mic.
I don't want the government in my body, right?
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't want the government in my bedroom.
I don't want the government in my bathroom either. I don't want them telling me who's the rules are.
Exactly. I don't want the government in my brain saying, you can't use these words. You have to use these words. You don't use those words. There's very little that I want the government for, in fact.
Yeah.
Maybe infrastructure, defense. Infrastructure and defense. But cases could be made.
What about schools?
Nah. No.
Nah.
Nope.
Yeah, it's not going well.
Let the free market decide. Charter schools are way more successful than public schools.
Yeah.
You know, that's a whole Pandora's box there. But, you know, the government isn't the best and brightest. It's sort of the dregs, like.
The
mega
the
smart
wasteful.
Geniuses aren't in government.
Seemingly not, yeah.
They're probably doing their own thing, like Richard Branson, starting their own companies.
Yeah, they're entrepreneurs, they're scientists, they're authors. Right. Like, that's where the geniosity is going.
Yeah. So very cynical about Western medicine.
Yeah. Okay. Can we say anything? Charitable?
But at the same time, I don't dismiss it. I mean, I think if you're super depressed, try antidepressants. You know, because
give them a shot.
If you're dead, you can't be helped. And if your society is offering you help, try it out. You know, don't just discount it, because some drugs, you know, seem to work. And not everything is like, oh, you know, Eastern medicine, you know, Chinese medicine, holistic. Blah,
yeah.
Blah, blah.
Okay. Eastern medicine.
Not everything. Not, you know, not all Western medicine is shit.
Right. What can you say that's charitable about Western medicine?
Well, there's a vetting process for drugs, which is a double-edged sword. I think there should be no regulation on drugs at all.
You think humans should all be the test people?
Yeah, it should be a free market. Like,
saying there's no regulation, then you think that all human beings should be the test subjects for drugs.
You should be free to take peyote or poison or whatever.
Agreed.
And if I'm with you or you're with me, I take poison and I die, you're like, oh, okay, well, I won't take that. And that's how the free market works. Other people will be like, well, there's been everybody who takes this drug dies. So maybe we shouldn't take this drug, right?
Or just label it clearly.
Things that are good and bad suss themselves out just because of the system. Now, there's going to be things that are bad that happen, but in the long run, it's going to be better. You know, you can be against using heroin, but for decriminalization of all drugs.
I think harmoniously.
You should be free to fuck your body up as much as you want.
Yeah.
That's my feeling.
So the paternalist rescue savior you want to let go of, and then
I don't want
more
the government
the
to be my daddy. I don't want the government to be my parent, my daddy, my guidance counselor. That's what the family is for.
Hmm.
Traditionally.
Okay.
You need dad, you know, mom and dad, or whatever it is.
Mom and mom.
Parents.
Grandpa and dad.
They're the ones you get guidance from. They're the ones who help you out in a pinch. You cultivate friendships and family relationships. That's how you get through the tough times. Not by leaning on the shoulder of this faceless, nameless government entity. Mm. You know, that's my opinion.
Okay. No, I hear that. And you know, when I try to sit in that for a moment, I can't imagine a world where if you could transfer.
Can or can't?
Can.
Can.
I can't imagine a world where you could transfer, like, say, the need that it's met through unemployment into that the thought wouldn't cross the mind because you have such a rich relationship with all the people around you, your neighbors, your family, your friends. Like, literally, you would need to know the people
once
around you.
Once upon a time, that was how it worked, right?
Instead, we're hyper-isolated. So it's actually, if you think about it, that's more of a communal outlook.
Right. Do you know your neighbor? Your next door person who lives in the house?
Dude, I have a whole rap song about that. Of course.
Right.
No.
How many people do?
No one. Do you know your neighbors?
And once upon a time, you did. People did.
It's weird that we don't know our neighbors.
And it was like,
it's weird.
Okay, you know. Again, but, I mean, there's many things. People don't live in the same place as long as they once did. But, man, just get out of your house, talk to some people, you know, leave your phone at home. I know that's an insane idea. Leave your phone.
Leave
your phone at home and go for a walk and smile at people that you see and strike up conversations.
Yes. Yes.
You'd be surprised how naturally it comes to you. Because we've been doing it for hundreds of thousands of years.
So I need to cheers Aubrey on that, because I so wholeheartedly agree that a day well spent is to walk down your street and try to be nice to people who are there and maybe talk to them.
Yeah.
Just try that. Holy cow.
Or just look at
We've done that here.
Look at them, smile at them, whatever.
Hey, we were walking around, Aubrey and I, in my neighborhood, and we heard some live music. we just walked up to the live music and they handed us instruments and said, will you please play with us?
Right.
And we were like, sure. And then it went really well.
Yep.
Because Aubrey and I play music a lot. And of course that's not going to happen every time.
And then they were texting you to come back.
Yeah. Like, next week they were like, hey, are you guys here? And so every Saturday we get a text.
Right.
Sometimes we go, sometimes we don't, you know. There's no obligation either. I think that's an important distinction is when you walk around, you don't owe anybody anything.
Right.
You don't have to be any way.
That's what's so
just
great
be
about
you.
That's what's so great about the common courtesies is that no one owes anyone anything. But if you smile at someone and say, "Hey, how you doing?" You're gifting them the gift of like, I see you, you are a fellow traveler in the continuum of human experience. We're both sharing orbits at the same time. What a cool thing. I acknowledge you and you acknowledge me, and that's valuable.
Yeah.
Even if it's a totally chit chat, you know, elevator chit chat.
If that person's house were to begin to leak in a crazy rainstorm and they had nowhere dry to sit, wouldn't you let them sit in your house?
Right.
Yes. It's toast. Do you got any, I mean, you packing? Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Holy cow. I really like all that stuff.
Common courtesy. Because common courtesy is an exchange, but also an acknowledgement. Like, I see you. I recognize you for being a separate individual who is sharing orbits on spaceship Earth with me at this moment. That's what common courtesy does for people. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to be acknowledged.
Mm-hmm. All the time.
And if you just say, hey, or just nod, whatever, eye contact, nod, that's an acknowledgement. That's why if you say, hey, how's it going? And people just don't respond, you feel a little weird because they're just not acknowledging you at all. And that feels weird.
Yeah. It does feel weird. There are more inclusive ways to feel.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Okay. Can we get a round of applause on that? You know, long pauses like this are really just indicators of, you know, that we're taking it seriously. Oh, so there, okay. Okay.
It's usually a technical issue.
It usually is. So let's move on to another topic.
Okay.
So what a great topic we went on there, and we could just go on and on. I know we'll come back to it. What's Western medicine? So there's this thing that's come out pretty recently, and I'm trying to understand it. I'm trying to apply my imagination to it, and I can parrot some things I've heard some people say, Lawrence Krauss specifically.
Huh.
And if I could, I'd like to badly represent something weird. The reason I want to do...
I'm always a big advocate of people doing things badly,
yeah.
So please.
So the reason I want to do this badly is because I don't understand it, and I'd like to have it enter our discourse so that I'll understand it more over time. Because I don't need instant solutions. I'm just interested in the long game of letting this in philosophically long term. So there's been some scientific discoveries as of late in a sea change sense. So there's some things nearing the cutting edge that I'd like to understand more. I'd like to talk about and maybe we can apply some empathy and imagination to these ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And the name dropping I'm going to drop right now. Ready? It's
sure.
Gauge symmetry.
What is that? Is that a person's name?
No.
Awesome name for a person.
Actually, yeah.
Gauge symmetry. Hi, I'm Gauge Symmetry.
Gauge Welcome. Symmetry is something I can't speak on because I'm not a scientist, but I'd like to, so here we go.
Huh.
So a quote from Lawrence Krauss on the topic is, the symmetry of equations that govern nature. So that's what gauge symmetry is, it's basically trying to describe. So that's the most distilled version I could get it to. But like, like symmetries of the playing field. We use lots of like arbitrary labels, like positive and negative charges that like nature doesn't seem to care about. Like, so you say like protons and electrons, positively charged, negatively charged. Those are placeholder names, but they don't really have a real definable answer. So the thing about it is that you could say, as long as you had the rule book, if you're playing chess with the white and black squares that were going on, you could change the squares to white or black arbitrarily as long as you had the rule book. So that's kind of an obtuse thing to start with, but it's a property of space and time. Nature cares not the length of a thing. It cares about the forces that are sort of in it, like magnetism and gravity. So gauge symmetry includes swimming through molasses, like a molasses has a field. Like imagine you're the universe basically froze in a way like an ice crystal would freeze on your window in a delicate, intricate way based on like fractures in the glass or scrapes or tiny dust particles. Like that's the way it would form just out of random and reason. We can look at why it did that. So the universe seems to have frozen in a way that has developed the rules that we have as physics. And if it had frozen a different way, we would have very different rules.
Right.
So gauge symmetry involves things like this, like swing through molasses. So the reason that this universe is this way is because we've discovered that there's a field, like a Higgs field.
Higgs boson.
That if it wasn't there, we wouldn't be experiencing matter as we do.
Yeah.
So it's getting deep, dude. It's getting real deep. So gauge symmetry. Go.
There's so much chicken and the egg there. We're uniquely poised to understand and perceive our universe, you know, without our particular range of vision in the color spectrum, we wouldn't be able to see certain things. And isn't that crazy how everything's configured? But, well, how else would it be configured? If we had different senses, different organs, if it arose in a different way, we would still say, wow, isn't that amazing that everything seems to be dialed in so perfectly?
Yeah.
Is it dialed in so perfectly, or is it just we understand it, therefore it's dialed in perfectly? I don't really get...
My guess is the second one.
So gauge symmetry, you know, not sure I know what that means.
That's me either, dude.
But
and so can we apply empathy or imagination to it?
I don't even know where to start. Well, like, what do you mean by gauge? Certainly the
it's just the name.
The point of the holy grail of physics is a grand unified theory where we can say, okay, electromagnetism works this way. Okay, gravity and you know, astronomical physics works this way.
And quantum works this way.
Quantum works this way.
Fucking line up.
And then string theory works this way. Fuzzy logic, whatever. So electromagnetism, nuclear forces, if we can combine everything, have one equation that just describes the universe, right? That's the goal. The grand unified theory of everything. That's the holy grail of physics. Is that going to happen? I don't know, because I believe that there is no smallest thing,
right,
and there is no largest thing. So our pursuit and our articulation of scientific concepts will never end. We will always find the subquarks, right? Because it used to be, oh, the atom's the smallest thing. Then it was like, no, there's electrons, protons, and there's a neutron. And then it was like, actually, there's quarks. Even deeper than that. And then it was like, actually there's not just quarks, there's many quarks. There's the strange quark, there's the other quark. I think that's just endless. And I also think the magnitude, the size of the universe is an endless thing.
Well, they say there's boundaries.
We'll reach the boundaries, and then it's like, already we're hearing theories of, well, this is just one of an infinite number of universes.
Yeah.
Yes. The universe is finite, but there are an infinite number of them. Right. That's just going to keep going. It's existential. It's exponential. Existential too, but it's exponential sort of power functions in terms of what's biggest and what's smallest. There's no, in my belief, there's no limit to those things.
Okay.
And I think that's because they are so intimately related with one another that if you take a wide view of the universe, for example, it just looks like an atoms. Right,
mm-hmm.
Bouncing around.
Yeah,
the wide view looks like the macro view looks like the microscopic view.
Yeah,
and you know, I have no evidence to back that up, but that's my belief.
Okay,
because we've constantly been looking for the largest thing, the smallest thing, and we keep finding things that are smaller or larger, and there's just no end to it.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you say to that? If protons and neutrons and electrons could be positive or negative, and that we could switch them, and that wouldn't change the physics of our universe. Like the fact that they're positive or negative is sort of arbitrary and sort of placeholder, like clear air turbulence is a placeholder name for something we don't understand. So calling it positive and negatively charged.
Protons could become negative and electrons could become positive and it would be the same difference.
Yeah.
The neutrons have no charge. That's why they're called neutrons. They have a neutral charge.
So what do you think of that? I mean, how does that affect your worldview in the present?
Like, not at all, almost.
Okay, well, why not?
I mean, how does, like, quantum physics and nuclear physics affect your life? Like, kind of not at all, right?
Kind of not at all. And yet they can enter our discourse and we can talk about it, and it probably would expand our culture to include more inclusivity. I posit that if we spoke about these questions in our daily and weekly lives with our friends and neighbors and family, that our culture would grow, and I think good ways. I think it would be net good to be ever updating our, as we spoke about the universe and what we understood, not that it's a steady state thing that we already know, but that we continually peer review things and then move forward with larger groups of evidence. And I think that is so ideal and so peace-seeking naturally.
Yeah, I think the scientific method is very... the great invention is very powerful to constantly be reviewing not only the things within science, but, you know, things within the humanities or politics or even art, you know, sort of pushing against ideas and seeing where the water leaks out and just talking about those things. I mean, of course, in art, there is no right version. There's no correct version of art. But it seems like, everything should be tested, you know. Ideas, the free market of ideas should be tested, and if it sucks, it sucks, and if it's great, it's great, and great ideas that promote the flourishment of life and the well-being of human beings, I think those are better ideas because I believe that human well-being is something to strive for.
Oh, fuck yeah, folks. Human well-being is something to strive for. Again, universal human well-being.
Everyone has a belief. That's one of my beliefs. You could believe that, humanity is a cancer. Humans, you know, all life should die.
There's some evidence for that humans are a cancer. There's some evidence.
Sure, sure. Yes, and
right.
Cancer isn't inherently bad. it's just an organism. It's just doing its thing. It's not malignant. It's not like I'm gonna fuck this guy over. Right? It has no intention.
Malice.
There's no malice. There's no evil. It's not evil. It's tragic, but it's not evil. And so humanity might be, you know, I'm willing to say maybe humanity is tragic, but I don't think it's inherently evil that human beings want to live and thrive and expand.
No, it's not.
The whole humanity is cancer presupposes that cancer is bad. And it is bad because it kills people, but it's not operating from a point of intention. It's just doing its thing, right?
Same with every disease.
Exactly. Is the common cold evil? Like, no, of course not. It's just a bacteria that's actually trying to survive.
Could we learn to coexist with all diseases independently?
We just exterminate it. That would be like the pan symbiont. I forget the word.
Like a human being
that could coexist with any virus or bacteria or organism. Cancer. Yeah. Like you would freely be cultivating cancer cells, mutations, and you could just sort of jettison them or donate them to science.
Okay, that would be cool. I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
Like polio invades your body and you're just like, okay. Mm. And then you sort of research it and give the research away. AIDS comes in. Okay.
You could party. I mean, as that person, you could have a lot of fun.
That's like the apex of a physical organism.
So if that was a human person, they would be having fun all the time. They'd be going to crazy places where no one else is going, and they'd be hiking around, right, getting bitten by weird mosquitoes, having sex with all kinds of weird people, you know, and they would be a total hell. That's a superhero right there. That's a superhero. What's her name or his name?
That would be almost like the Jesus of...
Bacteria, taking all the
sins of disease on himself.
So, diseases is a decent name. we could go up from there.
Jesus. Is it the cable?
It's the cable. It's a cable.
Sorry, listeners. I cut out a few times there. I think it's because of the mic cable.
Yeah.
I'm hesitant to say that it's a mic problem because I want to believe that the mic is actually
because that's a more expensive thing to replace.
He's probably at work.
Call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 310-709-2189 is not available.
Call Sean.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Yeah.
Hey, the guy. It's the guy. Give me a call at the number.
Let's call. Cool. Let's do another call. That's awesome.
Who do you want to call? Who do you want to call?
Who are some options?
That's
Rebecca. Yeah.
I have two numbers for her. Huh. She's probably at work.
You can call Rebecca. Yeah, she was at work.
Maybe she's on a break. You never know. She could be
talking. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hey. Say hello, Aubrey.
Hey.
Hi.
Got a minute?
A quick minute, but I'm in transit with my family back to the car so they can drop me off at work.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, we're doing the podcast, and we decided to give you a call and just to say hey and see how it's going.
Oh, wow. Things are really amazing. I'm at the park by Lake Merritt. It's a gorgeous day.
Nice.
And yeah, just heading into work.
So you're in between two crazy shifts.
Yes.
How was your first shift?
You know, it wasn't that bad.
Okay, so like...
And another way to say that would be pretty good.
Okay, cool. So you had some fun and it was okay?
Yeah, I did have some fun.
Cool.
I enjoy being useful.
And then you're going to go back in and work a whole nother shift.
Yeah, I'm less looking forward to my second shift. I'm a server this evening, which just requires it's a little more pressure. Because
as opposed to what shift did you work this morning?
I was a back waiter, so I could just focus on kind of supporting other people's sections. But it's like when you're a server, if you forget something, it has a direct impact on the table.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for taking the time to answer the phone. I have one quick little thing I wanted to maybe bring up with you. Okay. If you have a quick, like a quick 10 to 30 second comment on healthcare, Western healthcare specifically, that would be pretty
quick
awesome.
Quick comment on healthcare.
Yeah, what are your thoughts?
If there is such
Western medicine, yeah.
Western medicine. My quick comment on Western medicine is I generally mistrust it. Mm-hmm. And as somebody in their 30s who is getting ready to reproduce, I'm pretty interested in having it for emergencies and for prenatal and postnatal care.
Yeah.
And I'm of the age and position in life where having access to insurance to be able to go get my teeth checked and my eyes checked and, you know, not be totally forever financially screwed if I broke a leg.
Yeah.
All of those things would be really cool.
Cool. Thank you for your
awesome answer.
Yeah, yeah. I've only broken one limb in my life. And
what was it?
The only reason, my ankle broke it a decade ago. And the only reason I'm not still paying medical bills for that injury is because I happen to have insurance through my school at the time. Very grateful for that.
Cool. Thank you for your commentary. And thanks for answering the phone and taking the time to talk
on your
us.
Break between your two shifts. You're awesome and sexy.
Totally. Thanks for having me, guys. Love you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Nice. And that was from Rebecca Ainsworth.
And you guys are getting married this fall.
Yeah. You know, I asked her to marry me and she was like a yes right away.
Yes. And.
Didn't even hesitate. No, there was no and.
Right.
And so we were like trying to figure out how to do it on our very limited wedding budget. And
just crowdfund. Have all your friends.
Have
all your friends come over. And have them bring shit.
That's then, totally on the table.
That's like 80% of your costs.
It could be. There's other costs too that you wouldn't believe. Or maybe you would believe. And we're getting sued, both of us. So it's like the lawyer
all the more reason
even
to cut costs.
Suggested that we wait to get married until the case is over.
Ah, Jesus. Doesn't that feel like a defeat by the bureaucracy?
Yes.
The powers that be.
So we're kind of pushing against that. So... It may be right here at Gradient Studios. We might just do it here.
Yeah, I thought you had agreed on that, but okay. Yeah.
Ideas.
I'm down with that.
I mean, it might be at Lake Chabot too. I mean, at a group
camp.
You
could fit 10 tents
here
in the yard.
Yeah, they'd be slanty. That sucks. It's a gradient.
You could fit.
Six people in the Gradient Studio.
People.
I mean, in the van, you could sleep two people. I mean, there's. You could have people crash out.
You could have 50 people sleep here.
Yeah, you could. So,
but
no, yes, but so yeah. Like, there's other
it
considerations
is a yes, but.
Too.
It is
like
a huge yes, but
like old people and honeymoon and like all these things,
right.
And then like legal liability.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We just got married. Okay, I'll be in the tent right next. right next to you.
No.
I'm on my honeymoon. Like, yeah, you don't want that.
So we were thinking, what if we did Lake Chabot group camp and then had like a trailer that we only went into at the end?
Right.
So that's a thought. And then we want to go to go somewhere international together because I think that's such an important thing for a couple to do is travel internationally and make it work. It's like, I think it's a need. I think my quest for understanding nonviolent communication, there's a need that's not on the list. And I think there's two. One is home and one is travel. I think those are both innate human needs. But
what is the travel is not a need?
I'm arguing it is.
But what feeling does it? Like, what feeling does it satisfy in you?
Loneliness.
Okay, there we go. Now we're getting down to the bottom of it.
Yeah. Loneliness.
A cure for loneliness.
A cure for also just not understanding. Just being ignorant. Because travel is the best way to understand your neighbor. The best way.
Yeah. I wrote a book called The Loneliness of Helium, and it was all about the fact that helium is totally alone on the periodic table. So I get it. That's good. So it's a need for community, connection.
A social need. Travel. It's actually a need for travel.
It's interesting.
Because it cannot be met besides travel. Because then only can't then it would be you experience folded different into cultures. One of the other ones? You know, you'd think like.
Can it be folded into community or?
Well, because travel is a strategy. It's not a need. Right. Travel is a strategy. It's not a
travel
need.
Travel is a way to
meet a need.
To
I think that there as we expand the question of needs, well,
acknowledge other people.
I think it's to
cuz you're right. It is a way.
It's not a strategy.
It's not an end point.
But I think the act of it may be a need. I almost imagine if everybody on the planet in their own culture had the opportunity to go somewhere totally foreign and eat their food and experience their culture and survive and make it home safely, like there's nothing but good that comes from that.
Well, see, that is the multiculturalism I can get behind.
Okay.
Like, yeah, every culture is different. I'm going to go check it out. Like, wow.
Go cool. check it out.
I don't want necessarily... I mean, Little Italy's cool.
You have to move there. It's not
like the whole myth of multiculturalism is basically bullshit. True multiculturalism is what you're saying. Mm. Traveling, experiencing on the home turf, right? You go to Italy and you experience Italy in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't try to import Italy into your fucking Upper West Side mindset.
Yeah.
To me, that's bullshit.
I hear that.
So that was fun.
Okay.
I like the phone call thing because it's so crystal clear.
Yeah.
Getting that?
Oh, and even the plug in here, the Facebook audio is even slightly better. Remember that with your brother?
That's right.
Even slightly better. Although the iPhone just did get a lot better to pay homage. So this other thing here, I was thinking about it's like I'm going to give you a minute because it's a request of you.
Hmm.
I'd like to hear a story by Aubrey. And
of what?
I would like to hear a story by Aubrey.
Huh.
Okay. Authorship opportunity. And I'm also interested in talking about the first time the word story ever came into any language, like which language was the first language to come up with the word story.
Final Corp. Imperial barrel-aged mayonnaise.
Oh, great.
Story. You want a story?
I want a story.
I'll give you a story.
Let's have a story.
So I was in a band, a musical band.
Bandendi.
And I played bass.
Oh, there it is.
I was in a band. I played bass. And there was a guitar player who I knew for a long time. One of the greatest guitar players I've ever laid eyes upon, named Dave Z, and drummer Jim Mitchell, and we had
cool
a
names.
We had a bunch of tunes. We did a lot of prog rock. We had a few covers. We did a lot of prog rock, sort of heavier prog rock stuff.
Mm.
And I was just excited to be a part of it because these guys were mega musicians, and so we ended up like booking some shows. One of the shows we booked was in this little bar in like Revere or something, some obscure town of Massachusetts.
Huh.
Just some place that was 45 minutes away from everywhere, right? And we were pretty, you know, we were young, psyched to be playing shows. Got all our gear together. Packed up our cars, drove down there.
How many cars?
I don't even remember. Probably two.
Caravan?
A Hyundai and a Mercury.
Oh, God. That sounds terrible.
Or whatever Ford's version of the Mercury wagon was.
Oh, like Taurus wagon?
Yeah. It wasn't the Mercury wagon, but it was the exact same shell.
Yeah.
Exact same shell. Just like the town and country and the Grand
Blown head gasket. Caravan. Blown head gasket.
Grand Caravan and the town and country are the same car.
Uh-huh.
Loaded up our cars. We hadn't played. We played maybe one or two shows. Maybe not even. It's hard to remember. It was a long time ago, but... Yeah, power trio, playing some heavy prog rock music. We got this gig at some just hole in the wall bar, right? We go there, get inside, and it's like everyone seems to be 30 years older than us, and everyone seems to be in the same bike gang.
Huh.
Like mega Hells, like the Massachusetts chapter. You know, Southern Massachusetts chapter of the Hells Angels. This was one of their bars. That's what the vibe was.
Hmm.
Walk in there, it's like all older guys, all fucking burly, kick your ass, giving you sort of looks. And we're just these wet behind the ears, you know, 20 something, late 20 somethings. 20 somethings. Mm-hmm. It was after college. And just like, well, got to play the gig, but at the same time thinking, are we just going to get fucking like beer bottles thrown at us like in the Blues Brothers?
Ooh.
You know? So we get up there, set up.
You play all originals?
Get up there, we set up and play one of our originals.
Okay.
And no one's dancing. It's like kind of older broads with leather jackets with their husbands who are also motorcycle gang guys. Everyone's like 45 and above. And we're like 24. And
they probably felt some empathy for you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was just hard to read them. Did they like it? Did they hate it? Everyone was like stoic, you know.
Ay.
Play our first tune, it's an original, it's like heavy and weird, lots of parts, you know. Stop, and then slowly you could tell that, okay, we're not going to get our ass kicked.
Okay.
People are okay with this. We played some Sabbath, and then it was like, okay, yeah, okay. Like the audience.
They warmed up?
They are ready to, they want the transaction to happen.
Yeah.
The audience wants the show to be good, and they will forgive things in order to just think that the show is good.
Totally. Totally.
They, you know, they're not looking to hate on you. They just want to have a good time. And it's like, we totally delivered that. And we were in, you know, we were 1,000 miles in the desert, and we just delivered this thing that the audience wanted. It was really cool. That's, and the name of the bar was The Raven.
Oh, nice.
That's why the story is called The Raven.
Nice, nice.
That's my story.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Thank you. And that was a story by Aubrey. Okay.
The podcast for empathy and imagination.
Podcast for empathy and imagination.
Thank you. You've been listening to the podcast for empathy and imagination. Please check us out on SoundCloud and iTunes and everywhere else on the internet where links are found. Thank you, Apple, for loading the song that we wanted and that Dina Speed Weird and be loading up. Thanks for listening, guys. See you next time.
Yes, we totally appreciate your time. I would like to acknowledge you for taking the time out of your day or night to listen to us talk about empathyandimagination.com. Give it to me. Oh, yeah.